Cambridge 105 Radio. We're live here from the A14 for another half an hour or so. And we're joined now by Mike Evans, who is the stakeholder lead on the project. Mike, you were on with me a few months ago, so it's nice to see you again.
Hello, Tim.
Coming over and visiting us here on the side of the road here.
Yes, it's nice for you to come out and see our site.
It's great to be able to see it. It puts a lot of driving around, seeing all the work going on into perspective, particularly with the section here that we haven't had access to just yet, but we will soon. So just to go over some of the things that we talked about a few months ago, because Liz wasn't with me then, and we would start by saying that this project, it's been a long time in the making, sort of on and off. He said it goes back to 1989
Cambridgeshire has been awaiting this scheme for an awful long time. It first appeared in a government publication in 1989, which was called Roads for Prosperity, produced by Margaret Thatcher's administration. And that document envisaged, as it said, quite a lot of expansion of the road network across the country to generate or help generate the economy.
Yep.
And what happened was that the department progressed a scheme. We got to 1998, change of government, Labour government, had a slightly different view of transport and decided that road building was not the answer. So cancelled the scheme and said we need more further study to see whether there is anything else that could be done in transport to deal with the congestion but not involve road building.
Yep.
And this was called a multimodal study. It was to look at whether public transport could provide the solution, to look at whether railways could provide the solution. And the study concluded that, yes, there was a role for public transport, and out of that study came the guided busway.
Yeah.
Yes, there was a role for railways, particularly to carry freight, and the line from Felixstowe to Nuneaton was upgraded to carry what's called W12 freight boxes, which are the big freight boxes that come off the container ships from the Far East. But even so, even if you do all those things, the study then still concluded that you needed to invest in the road. And a scheme came out of that study. It was called the A14 Ellington to Fendittin scheme. Highways England, or Highways Agency as it was at the time, progressed that scheme up until 2010, when it almost got to public inquiry. And there was then the financial crisis in 2008, 2009, 2010. A government were looking to cut public expenditure, and the scheme was then cancelled by the coalition government in 2010. We almost were at public inquiry and the government said stop. We can't afford it. There was quite an outcry because the people of Cambridgeshire had been waiting for dealing with the traffic congestion on Huntingdon to Cambridge for a long time. So there was quite a campaign to ask what was going to be done. And government committed to doing something and said, well, let's have another study. So another study was done, and it was called the A14 Challenge. And guess what?
Challenge.
Out of that study came the present scheme. The present scheme entered the roads programme in about 2012, 2013, and we then took it through the statutory procedure. Unfortunately, this time, we went through a public inquiry or an examination, as it now is called, and we got the consent to acquire land and start building the road in 2016. And now we're finishing it off.
So when it's finished at the end of next year, it's going to be a closure of a very long chapter.
Indeed. It's been waited for an awful long time by a lot of people in Cambridgeshire.
We touched on it earlier. Liz said that this is a project that is on time and is on budget and still remains that way.
It does, yes.
Which is a great achievement.
Yes, there are other major projects in the country that are not quite so fortunate. Thinking here of railways down in the London area. But yes, this scheme, we always knew that we had a budget of 1.5 billion and no more. So our contractors have been very focused in delivering the scheme for that amount of money. And we always knew that we had a deadline to open the road by December 2020. Now we're hoping to open part of the scheme early, a year early, by the end of this year, and the rest of the scheme will follow on sometime next year. Yeah. But it is a huge achievement because it is the biggest road project in the country, and it's been the most expensive road project in the country.
Yeah. Have you had any challenges along the way to the timescale? Something come up along the time where you think, oh, this might set us back quite a bit? I mean, I guess, obviously, working outside, the weather generally has been pretty good the last couple of years. You haven't had lots of bad, you know, snow or whatever to deal with in the summer.
Correct.
Last year.
Correct.
Was very good as well.
Contractors will tell you that it is the weather that is one of the dominant features.
Yeah.
And we've been very fortunate that we've had some very good springs. Okay, they've been dry, which is good for us.
Yeah.
Not always good for farmers. We've had some very good summers, and we've been able to crack on, and it's because of that that we are potentially in part of the scheme a year ahead of opening than we originally said.
Yeah.
Other things that might have tripped us up, I can't think of anything immediate that comes to mind. You've heard from Dr. Steve Sherlock earlier. His archaeology took quite a bit of time. We had to plan for that.
Yeah.
But of course, he found an awful lot more than we were expecting, and that generated a degree of pressure on the timetable.
Mm.
But we were able to readjust the work that was done so that we could accommodate the further work that the archaeological investigation required, while at the same time redeploy some of the people working on site to do other bits.
Yeah.
I mean, sorry, the construction industry must change quite a lot over the years. I mean, there must be new things coming in and materials used. And is there anything on this site that is new and of its, you know, the latest kind of machinery that you've used or anything?
I'm probably not best to answer that because I don't work for the contractor.
Mm.
But we've had trials of automated equipment, automated,
yep,
dumper trucks, which you might have heard about earlier from Julian.
Mm.
And the only thing I can think of is that when I go into the construction compound, and I stand there in a building that must be housing 150 to 200 people, and they're all young kids, age, you know, late 20s, early 30s, and they're all working on computers. And I think, what are they all doing?
Yeah.
They're all sitting there.
I have to say, I did wonder that when we were walking through earlier,
looking at
wondering
these screens,
what everyone's doing.
What are they all doing? And of course, they're ordering, they're scheduling, they're planning,
yeah,
they're designing, they're doing all the stuff that used to be done on drawings. And out on site, the positioning of where the road and the bridges are going to be and the connection between the drawings and what happens out on site, which used to be done physically, is now done by GPS. So all the equipment is GPS connected. The drawings are all held on laptops and on screens, and they all make those connections, and they do stuff which I really can't believe what they do, because it's a long way different from what it used to be when I first started.
Yeah. So in that particular area, I know that you're widening the whole road, but the part of that has been over the guided busway line underneath, which is due to reopen again soon?
Yes. We needed to widen the bridge that takes the A14 over the guided busway. And in order to do that work safely, we had to close the guided busway for a period.
Mm-hmm.
The cycleway adjacent to the guided busway
now opened, yeah,
also had to be closed.
Yeah.
That has been open. We've got some finishing off work to do at the guided busway, but hopefully it'll be open in a few weeks' time.
Okay. So that section, when you came in before, you were saying most of it sort of down this way, as or the the progress that you've made, the area between sort of Girton and Milton was the last bit really that's going to be completed, and that's because it is the most difficult part in is the existing road that you have to
correct
operate on when it's obviously still open. So that timescale, end of next year, that will be done, maybe sooner, hopefully.
The commitment is the end of next year, but we hope to complete it early. I can't say when because it does depend on another good spring.
Yeah.
And if we have a good spring, it could open earlier. If we have a lot of rain, then it'll be delayed. But our commitment is still to open it by December 2020.
Okay.
And once we finish the main scheme, of course, I shouldn't forget that there is still one further bit to do, which we've now started work on, but that's the work in Huntingdon Town Centre, which involves the removal of the current viaduct or bridge that takes the A14 over both the East Coast Mainline Railway and Brampton Road.
Yeah.
That is no longer needed, so that will be taken down, and we will be remodelling the roads in Huntingdon Town Centre, giving better access to the railway station and providing a better urban environment for those that live and work in Huntingdon when the viaduct has been removed.
Yeah. Couple of questions for you. One of the questions from, I think it was from Dom, but some of his work colleagues asking the same thing. Obviously, there are times when you have to close a road or change the road layout or anything like that. What sort of work do you put in to when you're doing that to work out how that's going to impact on the traffic flow for that period of time?
Okay. As we're building the enhanced A14, particularly where we're working on the existing carriageway, we're building junctions and we're improving the carriageway where there is already a road and where there are already junctions. So we've got to move traffic out the way in order to create space where we're doing reconstruction and where we're building. And that therefore has involved quite a complex process of different traffic management arrangements as we shift traffic around to free space where we can then do the work. That involves quite a lot of planning. We do quite a bit of modelling of the traffic flow to try and make sure that our traffic management arrangements are going to work. But we know that whenever we put in a new traffic management arrangement, that the first morning when it opens up, it catches people by surprise because they've been used to something that was different before. And people get a little bit confused, even though I think we've got good signage out. And that causes a slowing down of the traffic flow, and the disruption in the traffic flow then feeds back and you end up with a queue.
Yep.
In a few days' time, we tend to find that the traffic moves much better because people have got used to the change. But of course, there will then be another change further down the line in a couple of weeks' time.
Yeah, well, it's exciting when you make changes because it shows there's progress being made, I suppose. Another question from Marcel, who wanted to know, how future-proof is this project?
That's a very good question. And when I first started work, I mean, the rule that the Department for Transport uses and has always used is that roads are designed for 15 years after opening.
Okay.
So when we are planning the scheme, we make a decision as to when the likely year of opening is. And for this scheme, it was 2020. We then take 15 years ahead of that, and we do our forecasting. So for this scheme, it's 2035 as the forecast year. Now, when I first started work in the industry, and I was working on a scheme down on the South Coast, A27 Brighton Bypass, our forecast year, our design year, I think was something like 1999. So our opening year was 1984. And I thought, wow, 1999 is, you know, way ahead into the future. But now I am where I am, looking back. 15 years doesn't seem an awful lot. And yet that is the standard that is used to determine what the capacity should be and what the dynamics of the road should be. So we've planned for a scheme that will work in 2035, but you asked me whether it would be sufficient in 2045, and that begins to get in the, into the realm of crystal ball gazing. Who knows what will happen to the road network in 2045 and how we will use cars and drive cars or not.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you for chatting to us.
Okay.
It's always, always interesting to hear more from you.
Yeah.
No doubt we'll catch up again at some point in the future to see how things are continuing to develop. Thanks to everybody who sent in some questions for us as well. That pretty much concludes our interviews for today. So thanks to everyone who has chatted to us and spent time talking to us this morning. Really appreciate it.